Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin. We are from Third Space, and this is the Turning Towards Life podcast. Lizzie, I just wanted to say the Turning Towards Dot Life podcast, which is not what it's called, but that's what the website is. You're also welcome, Lizzie. It's wonderful to see you. And you and I are, neither of us are in our ordinary places today. We're off on our travels, and I'm feeling very, very glad that we can still do this. We found a way to make it work. So welcome to you, and welcome to all of you who are with us, whether you have been journeying with us this 6¾ years right from the start, or whether maybe you found us anew. And whenever and wherever you are, as you're watching or listening on in all the different ways that you can, we're very, very glad to be here, and I'm very glad to be here with you this morning, Lizzie.
I'm very glad as well. I'm on a kerfuffly family holiday, and somebody at the breakfast table said to me, "Do you feel better after you've done Turning Towards Life?" And I was like, "Yeah, I do feel better, whatever before better was." But there's like a simpleness to that question, and it's true. I love to be here. It's a kerfuffle organizing everything so that I can be here. Two small children and all the cousins running around and all the favors I have to pull, and it's really wonderful. I think as a mom of small children, finding these times to be in a conversation of this kind is kind of miraculous, actually. And so thank God we started doing it before I had little ones and I was already committed, because if you'd have asked me maybe 3 weeks ago to start it, I'd say not a chance. But the system is already kind of set up. And I was thinking this before we started, Justin. When we take up a practice and we commit ourselves to it, how the systems that we're in are also a commitment to it as well. And how we have to establish something really strongly in order for the system to rally around us and do what it takes for us to be able to do the practice. And I'm really appreciative of the systems that I have around me that allow me to do it and do so much to enable that to happen. So here I am, freshly out of Kerfuffleville, and here with you in this quiet conversation space. And so on to the source, which is not unrelated to the kerfuffleage of life, of being in our lives, which is a source by Alan Watts. And I would call it Be Like a Cat. And I'm going to read, and then you read, Justin, as usual, and we'll see where this heads. So here we go. When a cat falls out of a tree, it lets go of itself. The cat becomes completely relaxed and lands lightly on the ground. But if a cat were about to fall out of a tree and suddenly made up its mind that it didn't want to fall, it would become tense and rigid and would be just a bag of broken bones upon landing. In the same way, it is the philosophy of the Tao that we are all falling off a tree at every moment of our lives. It's a matter of fact. The moment we were born, we were kicked off a precipice and we are falling, and there is nothing that can stop it. So instead of living in a state of chronic tension and clinging to all sorts of things that are actually falling with us because the whole world is impermanent, be like a cat.
So enjoyed hearing you read that, Lizzie. So I'm going to read it to you and to everyone now, as we always do. And a reminder to all of you, you can find the source, you can join our Facebook group, you can find it on the turningtools.life website. It's always with the podcasts as well. I love this. Be Like a Cat, we're calling it. Thanks, Lizzie, by Alan Watts. When a cat falls out of a tree, it lets go of itself. The cat becomes completely relaxed and lands lightly on the ground. But if a cat were about to fall out of a tree and suddenly made up its mind that it didn't want to fall, it would become tense and rigid and would be just a bag of broken bones upon landing. In the same way, it's the philosophy of the Tao that we are all falling off a tree at every moment of our lives. As a matter of fact, the moment we were born, we were kicked off a precipice, and we're falling, and there is nothing that can stop it. So instead of living in a state of chronic tension and clinging to all sorts of things that are actually falling with us, because the whole world is impermanent, be like a cat.
Thank you, Justin. Oh, so there are a few threads that come forth as I listen to you and me, Justin. And one of them is this way that you and I work with narrative or story, and how wonderful to have this invitation to be like a cat, as in to live life as if I were a cat and see what gifts that brings me. If I imagine the story of my life is cat-like, what does that mean for my relationships with others? What does that mean for the bodily presence that I have? What does that mean for the stuff that I get up to and how I respond? And what does it mean for my internal questions that I ask myself every day? And this cat invitation, maybe because of where I am and the kerfuffleage of being in four different family systems at once in a very small space for 2 weeks, which is where I am now. This invitation to be like a cat seems very, very relevant. And I think when, in my life, when things get very complex, there's always the path to follow of tensing up and trying to get things under control or something, which is really entirely futile, I can tell you, in this situation I'm in for these times. It really is. And so something else has to be born, something else has to come forth. Because when there's such complexity, like with all of our lives, just being a human is complex, isn't it? And this invitation, this possibility of being cat-like, seems to bring so much more freedom than trying to, well, than being the cat that goes rigid and then is a bag of bones on landing. Like, I'm not sure I would come out alive if I tried to control what's going on with And so this invitation feels like a wonderful respite, really, from myself. And it's an example, Justin, of the kind of beings that we are. We can imagine ourselves into different ways of being in the world, in our very circumstance that we're in right now. So I know the circumstance I'm in, and I can't change it. That's not mine to change. That's not my power to change the situation that I'm in right now. And I can make some choices and wonderings and inquiries about how to be in it. I think that's the power of this wondering and this work that we do, Justin. And so when I bring myself like a cat, and all the distinctions here, that all the things that Alan Watts is saying about being a cat, like letting go of oneself, accepting impermanence and that everything is falling at the same time, allowing that to touch me and to move me has me see differently. It has me relate differently. So instead of thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? And who's going to do that? And how are we going to get here? And, how do we get out the door? And all of those things that are very real. I can, what it does for me is I can focus on the smiles of my 8-month-old baby and see the interaction between my two children and not get dressed immediately and not think that I have to have everything sorted out and be fine with winging it and just think, well, it's just all right, isn't it? That's what I feel like. That's what this cat energy is. The cat vibe is like, well, I'm just falling out of this tree and I'm going to be fine. And I'm just going to make my legs a bit flexible and not worry too much about where the floor is because I know that I'm relaxed enough to respond in the moment kind of thing. And I think that's the great luxury of life for me, is knowing that I have some power in the situation, which is about me and how I'm in relationship to the situation, rather than needing it to be a certain way.
Love how, first of all, what you're saying about narrative, this really is a very powerful narrative invitation to live into, isn't it? To see all the ways that I'm being something other than a cat in the midst of falling with things and all the things that could happen if we were cats this way. So I'm loving that. I was feeling very mindful as you were talking, Lizzie, about how, about the importance of distinguishing that there are some places that really do need our taking control. And then there are all the other ones where we can't, and they are 98% of the time. And so I always think, there's places to take control. And for somebody who hasn't always taken control when it would help, it's good for me to remember that side of things, that not everything is falling off a precipice, but then most things are. And I found this incredibly moving. You know, until you read it to me, to us, I hadn't heard this part when I read it myself. The moment we were born, we were kicked off a precipice, and we've been falling ever since. It's very moving. It's also a real relief to hear that, actually. And I think I've been, since you posted this a little while before we had this conversation, when you posted it on Friday, it's been with me, sort of working its way in the background. And with me, it's been here in a different kind of set of scenarios that I've been wondering about than the ones that the kerfuffleage of parenting and family systems and all of that has been with me in two ways. So the most immediate way is sometime in the next 10 days, I need to have a meeting with someone where we've run into quite a significant relational breakdown. And there's quite a lot of blame and accusation around in the situation. I've made a mistake. I'd like to see if we can repair in some way. And frankly, who knows what's going to happen? And I can feel, I've been feeling all of my rigid cat stuff coming up. Like, I'll brace myself, I'll find a way of getting in control of this, I'll have it come out the way I want. But also, I think at a deeper, more subtler level, if I brace enough, I won't feel all the horrible feelings I'm worried I'm going to feel when I'm in it, and I won't feel ashamed, and I won't feel upset, and I won't feel confused, and I'll, you know. And I've been realizing over the past few days that all of those are just unbelievably unhelpful. That I'm falling, I'm going to feel what I feel, there's stuff to do, but nothing's going to stop this being falling. Nothing. So there are ways to fall. So it's not like just flailing around. Can really bring my attention to it. And that's really helped me relax, actually, because maybe I don't need to be so attached to a particular outcome. Maybe I don't need to be attached to feeling a particular way about it. Maybe I could just bring my softness and my openness and my fallingness alongside someone else who's also falling, and we'll fall together and we'll see. And that's been very relieving, very helpful, because just, I mean, this writing's so good. Just like the cat would be a bag of broken bones, I could be a bag of broken bones, and the other person could be as well if I go in rigid. So that's been really with me. And then the other part of it that's even sort of bigger and deeper that's been with me is, you'll know because I said this to you today, I'm celebrating a wedding anniversary today. Davina and I are celebrating, taking a little moment out to have this call with you, and then we'll head off on the trip that we're on. And we've been married for 28 years. So I've been doing little calculations in my head. How old does that make us? And how long, you know, could we expect another 28 years together and all of that kind of stuff? And I realize that with the biggest questions, this is helpful too. So bracing against aging, bracing against death, bracing against the inevitable ending, bracing against the next 28 years can't possibly be like the previous 28 years in lots of ways, bracing against who knows what's coming, none of them help. They aren't really are like ending up like a bag of broken bones. So I've been, it occurred to me last night as we were doing a drive back through the countryside after having dinner together. We were sort of doing that thing where you drive along country roads and it's quiet and, you know, the sky was turning and all that. I suddenly occurred to me in a new way that I could just enjoy the fall. I could actually make a choice to turn towards it with delight. Like, I get to be here, and we get to be here, and this is all finite, and I could be terrified of it, and there's lots that's scary in it, but I could enjoy the fall. Because, like Alan Watts said, we've been falling since the moment we got kicked off the preference when we were born. And that, so it's like the difficult conversation is on one scale, and the facing the impermanence of our actual lives is on another scale. But recognizing that the falling is also what makes it possible to be alive. If we weren't kicked off the precipice at the beginning, none of this would be happening. So I'm really doing what I can to feel the enormity of it and turn towards it with as much joy as I possibly can. Like the same reason I imagine people jump out of planes and enjoy the feeling of falling, which I wouldn't, don't particularly want to do, but so then the things that I'm most frightened of, I'm going to feel how I feel towards them. But I'm not going to try and, grab my fingernails into the walls to slow my descent or something on either of them, actually, on any of them. And that's this morning is feeling like a much fuller, more generous, and more contactful way to live in the world than turning myself into a bag of bones.
Funny, Justin, when you some people would just be listening to this, but if you're watching the video, you would have seen that Justin did like a little bodily movement of what it means to fall in a particular way where you just crashed the floor. And I was thinking, cats don't do that. Cats don't flail about and then smack down on their side. You know what I mean? They always land on their feet. So there's also a thing about a cat, which is that it's just innate trust that there's a landing. There is a landing. And there's suppleness and softness in the landing. And as I was thinking of that, somehow it also came to me that, Justin, with this situation that's with another human being that you're in relationship with, and there's breakdown and mistakes and all those kinds of things. There's a way that we can try and predict how it's going to go and then prepare for that. And, all kinds of ways we can subtly mess with ourselves in preparation for something important coming up that's to do with another human being. And it's entirely, maybe not entirely, but broadly unpredictable what's going to happen. So we can mess with ourselves. And, if you speak to this person after 10 whole days, you've got 10 whole days of kind of messing with yourself about what's going to happen and how, what would you say if he said that or she said that, or how would I handle it if this happened? And I think in this falling narrative, in this letting go narrative, what there is also space for is a path of unfolding that we can't possibly predict from that place of preparation and control and wondering and preparing. And I wonder, I know I've often experienced a kind of miraculousness happening. It's like, oh my gosh, I could never have seen that that was the way through this. The way that it actually materializes, if we can open to this kind of trust and response feeling of catness is often completely unrelated even to what we would imagine for how it might unfold from the small frightened part of us. And I think that's what I've seen enough times now. And like even in these couple of weeks of going, I don't know how we're going to get through this thing. And something arises when I kind of take my hands off it, when I kind of take my agenda back and all the interventions I might make, all of the things I might plan, or the way that I might do something, and just sit back and go, I wonder, I'm really curious. Let me be the cat for a while and see. And cats are quite funny to me. Like they're watching all the time rather than getting involved in everything all the time. There's also this quality in the story, in the narrative of the cat that arises for me of And as you say, this is 2% of the time when the cat does actually have to do something. Like something is being attacked, or it needs to get out of dodge, or needs to eat, something really concrete. But a lot of the time, that's not what the cat's up to. The cat's kind of observing and wondering and calculating whether this is the 2% time or not. And mostly it's not. So I think it's an invitation as well to not doing too much about the things that we feel confused about, but allowing something to arise that's quite different than what we would imagine is possible in the situation, and just seeing and then trusting that something far more intelligent might arise out of the happenings of life than the thing, the intervention we might make. So I think it's also a question of timing too. Well, at what point am I going to invest a load of energy in trying to work this out? And at what point am I just going to sit and I'm going to just wonder? And maybe in our culture, we're kind of driven much more towards, I've got to do something about this now. I've got to sort this out now. And what's needed is a kind of, I'm going to watch, or I'm going to sit back and I'm going to allow, and I'm going to see whether my participation in this, in the way that I normally participate, is actually detrimental to the whole situation, or whether it's what's called for. But at least there's a choice rather than a, I'm just going to do what I've always done and see and hope that the outcome's okay. But I think that spaciousness to wonder and to be curious and to allow for something other than my smallness acting out. If something other than that happened, maybe it's way different and way better than I could have imagined. And it's like unimaginable, Like something happened this week with the dynamics of the children, and my mum said something, and I thought, oh my goodness, there's no way I could have thought of that. I was too afraid to think of that. I was too worried to think of that. And how miraculous that that is possible. But it was so different to the solutions that I'd thought of and the concerns that I had. It was so left field and it was perfect. And so I feel like that's what this cat narrative has been birthing in me, is a kind of self-regulation or something where I'm not meddling with things too much.
Just this last part that you're talking about self-regulation, I was thinking whilst you were talking about, you've just spoken so beautifully about the kind of discernment that is called for to work out when it really is time to act and maybe to try and control something, and the 98% of the time when that's not the thing that's called for because something new is going to emerge, and then what's called for is our participation. I think you might say that the cat is participating in the fall. It's not passive in the fall. It's the softness and the. If you watch that, there are these great slow motion videos of cats falling. I don't know if you've seen any of them. Alan Watts would not have had access to this, but in the day these days of YouTube, lots of people have looked at cats falling, and they're participating in the fall as well, turning and, but not flailing. That I think that's the thing, and. I was thinking whilst you were talking about this, Lizzie, that there's the immediate concerns that where we might misjudge this, we might get into controlling lots and lots, trying to control lots of things that cannot be controlled, because really it's all falling. We're all falling together. And we could look at it on the only on the level of the 2 weeks away in a complex family system with lots of kids and adults around. Like that be the bound of it, but the other place to look at it is the bound of the whole life, and this of a whole life, and this cat invitation is an invitation to a way to live as well as a way to respond to a particular circumstance, like a difficult conversation or family holiday. The one things I've been noticing is, and I think really working with this for years, and you and I have talked about it before, and we've talked about it here as well. I started finding out maybe 15 years ago, I started to realize that there was a way that I was braced against the whole of life all the time. not just specific circumstances, but basically this thing that Alan Watts says, we're all falling since the moment we were born. And when I brace myself against the whole of life, many, many other things then become things to brace myself against, small things. And it's a narrative orientation. It's also a bodily orientation. Like sometimes I'm amazed. I'll get into bed at night and I'll lie down in my bed and I think I'm feeling really relaxed. And then I'll notice some part of me relaxed that I didn't know was holding tension at all. Like, oh my goodness, my shoulders are actually, they feel relaxed, but actually they just let go. I wonder if they can let go a bit more, and I'll breathe into it and then they'll let go again. And the muscles in my chest, like around my ribs, particularly, is where I feel it. Oh, they can let go again. Oh, there's another letting go, and another letting go, and another letting go. And sometimes I'm absolutely amazed at how what I've taken to be a kind of relaxed, open pose in life, actually, it has got a whole load of bracing in it. So I think that as well as practicing this by words and by listening to one another and by having ideas and feelings about it, it also really helps to practice this with our bodies as well, to notice that even when we're not cognitively aware of our trying to grip on life and trying to have life go and trying to avoid death particularly, or all the things that are all impermanent, that we've got into gripping with our bodies and that we will feel that even when we don't know it. And so how important the sort of learning self-regulation, self-regulation of breath and self-regulation of nervous system, how important that is, and also starting to get to know our own muscles and bones in this as well, because it's not just metaphorical what Alan Watts is writing, but it's also actual. We can go through our whole lives with bodies braced, and it produces a way of parenting and a way of, and let's brace when there's things to brace for, definitely. But let's not when there's not.
I noticed, Justin, as soon as you start talking about the body comes into my awareness. It's such a gift to actually name the body. And I think so much of our lives, we're all just pretending we, and the world is pretending we don't have bodies or something. And then when someone even just saying the words, it's like, oh yeah, I can feel now. Now you're pointing to it, I can feel. And I guess that's the magic of language and taking one another into different places and being willing to listen and to be changed by one another, is that just you saying the word body and ribs and shoulders. It's like I now have a new relationship to my body, ribs and shoulders in this moment. And of course, this cat narrative is filled with physicality, which I'm really appreciating about it. Like it evokes the physicalness of a story to me. It evokes the bodiliness of the stories that we live from for me. I'm feeling very grateful to Alan Watts, very grateful to you, Justin, very grateful for the different kind of stages of life that we're at as well, and how that offers different distinctions and different things in the conversation. I'm feeling grateful for that in this moment too. And we're going to be back next week with another source. I'll be back in my normal setting, in my normal everything behind me. And I'm imagining, Justin, you might be too. And Justin, we'll have a source from you next week because every time we alternate. And I want to thank Alan Watts for this having come out of his imagination, the simple story of a cat. The simple stuff is often so compelling. And I want to thank everybody for being here with us. And please be in touch with us if you would like to, through our Facebook, through our Instagram, through our email. And remember, you can receive all of this weekly in your inbox if that's helpful and good for you by going to turningtowards.life. And you can also support us by buying us a coffee there as well. And Justin, maybe one day we should go for a coffee. So thank you everyone for being with us, and we will see you next week.
Everyone. Bye-bye.